Wow, that's a lovely bunch of children. Marvelous. We are going to spend a few moments together in God's Word. And we started a series a couple of weeks ago in Joshua. And today we're in Joshua chapter 2. And if you would like to use a pew Bible, you'll find Joshua chapter 2 is on page 152 in the Pew Bible. And let's stand together as we read a few of the verses. Joshua chapter 2. We stand in honor of God's Word. It is a light to our path, and it helps us on the pathway to heaven. Joshua chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, says, "Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Sittim. Go look over the land," he said, "especially Jericho." So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, "Look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land." So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab, "Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land." But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from." At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, the men left. "I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly, and you may catch up with them." But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, "I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother and brothers and sisters and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death." And we'll pause there. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And we pray that you would use it this morning to strengthen our hearts and to draw us close to you. In Christ's strong name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And I'll begin by telling a story on myself. Many years ago, when I was pastoring at Arundale Alliance Church in Saskatoon, on Mother's Day, I chose to preach from Proverbs 31, and the message talks about the woman who does everything. She owns property, she makes clothes, she does all kinds of marvelous things. And afterwards, one of the ladies in the congregation, as I was shaking hands, shook her fist right in my face. And she said, "Pastor, don't you ever preach on that passage again. You know how far short I fall of that objective?" And so I'm just confessing, I've never preached on that since, on a Mother's Day. Okay. But this morning we do want to think about a woman who is a tremendous example to us of how God can save. She's a woman who's not born as part of the family of God, not part of the people of God, And she's a woman who is mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1. And you'll find she's also mentioned in the book of Hebrews and the book of James in the New Testament. Her name is Rahab. And so as we come into the second chapter of the book of Joshua, we're going to think about her a little bit this morning. And the wonderful redemption that God works in her life. And I think about some people, you know, wonder, how do you become a Christian anyway? And would God want somebody like me? Well, the truth is, the Lord went way out of his way to save Rahab, and he would do the same for you, even as he has done in my life, and anyone who comes to trust in him. So she allows us to consider some great truths. And in our moments together this morning, we want to think about how this unpackages as Joshua sends out the spies. And isn't it noteworthy that he only sends two spies? You know, Joshua was part of 12 spies who went to look at the land of Israel, and 10 of them gave a bad report. We can't do it. The giants in the land, there's too much for us to conquer. We'll never get there. And I cannot help but smile when I get to Joshua chapter 2 and verse 1, and it says he sent out two spies. And thinking perhaps about Joshua and Caleb, the two men who came back from the previous look at the land and said, we need to go on by faith and walk with God, and he'll give us the land. 40 years have gone by, and people would not move by faith, and so that generation died in the desert. Now they're on the edge of the promised land, and he sends out two spies, especially, he says, to look at Jericho. Now, I titled the message this morning, Changing Sides, because that's exactly what Rahab does. She changes from what she has known to come to belong to the people of God. And dear friends, there are only two sides. And eternity depends on the choice that we make as to which side we are going to live in and serve. And eternity in heaven comes to us when we choose Christ and walk with him and obey his word. A lost eternity, cast away to that place that the Bible calls hell, comes for those who fail to make that choice for Christ. And it is really as simple as that. That there are only two sides. Now, many times people have argued about, God will let me in. He knows I'm not a bad person, and so on. But you know, when it comes right down to the bottom line, it's Christ and Christ alone who causes us to know eternity in heaven with God. So as we think about what happens in this text, let me just walk through a few things this morning as we think about Rahab. First of all, in verses 2 through 11, we see that she is faced with difficult decisions. Don't you love it when you are faced with difficult decisions? That's kind of when we spin and say, oh, I don't know what's the right thing to do. Rahab had some difficult decisions to make, and it shows us here in verses 2 through 11 how she goes about that. Her home was on the city wall. In all likelihood, it was an inn or some form of an inn, and she's there as these men come. And we see that she changed sides. And if you look at verses 8 through 11 especially, you see that she is professing that God is true, that the God who opened the Red Sea before them and who has helped them in the battle with the Amorites on the other side of the Jordan is the true God. He's the living God. She is very clearly saying that, isn't she? She says so clearly, "For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below." Verse 11. Whoa. Now here's a lady. Jericho is a vast, locked-up city. They have two means of defense. One is the Jordan River, and the second are those strong walls of Jericho. And you know, the folk in Jericho are like many people today. They put their trust in things that seem to be secure as far as this world goes. But they are not secure. For the Jordan did not stop Israel coming across, and the walls of Jericho will not hold, as we'll see in a few chapters down the way. Dear friends, here as we think about Rahab, she is saying, this God, the God of Israel, he is God in heaven above and on the earth below. So she's changing sides. She's making a declaration. Your God is God. Now, she faced other difficult decisions. And people always tell me when we think about Rahab or Joshua chapter 2, did she tell a lie? I heard a little tiny squeak. Did she tell a lie? Yes. Okay. Is it right to tell lies? No. Why did she do it? Now, lots of people say, well, the end justifies the means. It saved these two men's lives. But my friends, that is not right. The thing is, Rahab, yes, knew that God was God, but she had not yet learned to trust him fully and completely in all things. Let me illustrate for you, and I won't take time to go there and read it, but you can jot the reference down and look at it yourself. In Genesis chapter 12, Abram, who knows God and who is called by God and who is told that he'll become the father of many nations by God, goes down to Egypt and he says to his wife, Sarah, you're a good-looking woman. And when the Egyptians see you, they're going to kill me just so that they can have you. So, do me a favor. Tell a lie. Tell them you're my sister. And after all, it's not entirely wrong because you're my half-sister. Oh, the world loves it. The end justifies the means. That's what this world teaches us. But that's not what the Word of God teaches us. Let's go to Genesis chapter 22. Abraham is told, take Isaac, your son, the son that you love, and give him as a sacrifice on Mount Moriah. And he takes some servants with him, and he takes the fire, and he takes the wood, and he takes his son. And as they are going up the mountain to the place of sacrifice, Isaac says to his father, Father, here's the fire and here's the wood, but where is the sacrifice? And Abraham says, God will supply the sacrifice. You see, in the ensuing chapters, something happened in Abraham's life. He learned to trust God fully and implicitly. Because he told the servants, I and the boy will go and sacrifice, and we will return to you. He didn't know all the details. He didn't know how God would work it out. But he knew that he could trust God. Dear friend, can you say that this morning? Oh, I am learning to lean on Him and to trust Him fully and completely. Because you see, when it comes to salvation, it is just like that, isn't it? There is not one thing that you and I can do to earn it, buy it, talk our way into it. We have to trust Him fully and completely. Rahab, she just hadn't got there yet. So don't be too hard on her. But Abraham teaches us that's the journey that a Christian needs to make. Trust Him with everything. Everything. Pastor Shea talked about dying to self in that baptism tank. And when we do that, we're saying, Lord, I only want to live for You. And I give You everything. And then there's another lesson here, and just quickly mention it before we move on. Her king sent messengers to her to say, where are those men that came in? Now, what does the New Testament say about obeying government? Does it say we should obey the government or not? Yes, you're getting stronger. That's good. Excellent. That's what it says. But she didn't do it, did she? Because she gives us another wonderful lesson. She could not obey both the King of Jericho and the King of Heaven. And there may come a time in this land where you will be called upon to decide either to obey the King of the land or the King of Glory. And dear friends, don't miss the lesson of Rahab. She so strongly teaches us, when it comes to a decision between heaven and earth, go with heaven and go all the way. There's a little Pentecostal amen belongs in there, but I'll keep on going, okay? Hebrews 11:25 is still true today. It says of Moses that he chose to endure hardship with the people of God for a season rather than the pleasures of Egypt. That's still the choice that we make. So when we think about Rahab and facing difficult decisions, and when you come to face difficult decisions, the God of heaven, you can trust Him. You can trust Him with life. You can trust Him with death. You can trust Him with family. You can trust Him all the way, in every way. When we think about this lady, Rahab, the second thing that we see is that she wanted salvation. She wanted to be saved. And not just herself. She wanted salvation for her family and for her household, for her loved ones. Don't we all? And as she speaks with these men, she makes it very clear to them, I want to be saved. I know what's coming. I want to be saved. What a picture that is. What a wonderful picture. See, there are only two sides. And we make that choice. She perhaps did not fully understand the power and the love of God yet. But she knew that He was God and that she would follow Him and entrust herself to His people. We didn't take time to read all the way through the chapter, but she is given a red scarlet cord that she's to tie in her window so that when the army comes, they will see that's her place. What a picture. The red scarlet, symbolic of the blood of Christ. Just like in Exodus at the Passover, when we see in Exodus 12, God says, when I see the blood on the doorpost, I will pass you by. Death will not come. When the Israeli army saw that cord, they knew. In that house is a woman and her household who want to belong to the people of God, who have made that choice to to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, we're either covered with the blood of the Lord Jesus, or we're not. And there are people oftentimes who tell me, well, you know, it would cost me so much to become a Christian. Here's from Daily Bread some years ago. Lord Kenneth Clark, internationally known for his television series Civilization, lived and died without faith in Jesus Christ. He admitted in his autobiography that while visiting a beautiful church, he had what he believed to be an overwhelming religious experience. "My whole being," Clark wrote, "was irradiated by a kind of heavenly joy, far more intense than anything I had known before. But the gloom of grace," as he described it, "created a problem. If he allowed himself to be influenced by the love of God that he was feeling, he knew he would have to change. His family might think he'd lost his mind, and maybe that intense joy would prove to be an illusion. So he concluded, I was too deeply embedded in the world to change." That's a sad commentary, isn't it? Rahab was not so embedded in her culture and in her society that she could not wonderfully and dramatically change sides and trust the God of heaven. You see, this world brings us to a cycle of disappointment. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Disappointment. Well, this is where you get worried when I start coming down. You ever thought that if only I had that one thing, my life would be great? Anybody here ever felt that way? I see one hand. Oh, there's another. Yeah. We all experience that. And when we get it, what happens? Luke's shaking his head. I think he means when you get it, it's not all that you thought, and you end up being disappointed because it wasn't the answer to everything after all. And so much of life is like that. When we just put all the emphasis into the practical, physical kind of things without giving attention to spiritual life, we miss it. But when we give our life fully into Christ's hands, just as Kate was saying this morning, that's a cycle of fulfillment, because he always keeps his promises and fulfills his word. Thank you for being so obedient to him and blessing us today. Thirdly and quickly, he teaches us faith. You see, Rahab spoke with these men and they made an agreement. What if they forgot? What if the promise that they made wasn't any good? What if? That's the question that the devil loves to ask. What if? But she teaches us faith because she trusted what they said and rested her life for time and eternity on that decision to follow God's way. She teaches us hope, that anyone can be saved and be used by God. If Proverbs 31 is the perfect woman that I shouldn't preach about, Rahab is the imperfect woman on the other end of the scale. But God loved Rahab. In fact, he loved Rahab so much he wrecked the town just to rescue her. Think about that. And he loves you just that much today also. Oh, my dear friends, She gives us hope as we think about the story of Rahab. And she gives us joy, abandoned to God and to His will. So often in our world, there's such a lack of joy, isn't there? But I think as Rahab saw those two men leave, and she knew the joy of God in her heart, that the issue was settled and that she and her family would be saved. Wow. She teaches us peace. In a world that's full of conflict, she had peace. You imagine what would have been said in Jericho when the Israelis marched around it every day? Maybe somebody said, "Oh, I didn't know there was that many of them." Maybe somebody else said, "That's a tough-looking army." Maybe what Rahab said about her own people was true. They were shaking in their boots. Or to be Irish, their knees were not knocking. They were missing each other going by. But you see, she had peace because the issue is settled. And I've lived long enough to know that when I've stood at a bedside when someone is leaving this earth, there's a big difference when that someone can say, "I know that I belong to Christ. I know where I'm going. I settled that issue long ago. I made that choice, same choice that Rahab made, to follow Him." And there's acceptance. She is given a whole new beginning. Wonderful. As I say, the one who loved Rahab loves you and loves me. Once in a while when I'm away, I read other people's books. And while I was in Ontario the last couple of Sundays, I was reading a book with an anonymous poem in it. I don't want to close with this. And Shay will come and lead us in that closing song. Here's what it says. It's by Anonymous. "When the elements melt with fervent heat, and the earth things shall all pass away, when the gold and the silver have lost their worth, and man's work is lost in decay, when the end of all things has come at last, and the time shall have come to the end, what will the hope of your heart then be? What will you stand upon then? I have a hope that is steadfast and sure, and I fear not the gathering storm. I have an anchor that holds me secure, and I look for the crisis to dawn. I have a Savior who stands by my side. I'll be with you, He says, till the end. So when all things of earth are fading away, I'll stand on His promises then. The storm clouds are coming. That day is at hand when the Lord shall return for His own. The trumpet will herald that glad command when He gathers His saints round the throne. Will you then be counted in that great throng? Will trusted with trusting His grace to the end? Will you stand with Him or all alone? What will you stand upon then?" Dear Heavenly Father, thank You that You've provided a Savior for us to stand upon. Thank You that You give us the opportunity to make a choice, to choose which side. You've given us free will to do that. Lord, eternity is a very long time. We want to be sure that we're trusting in Christ and Christ alone. So, Father, in the closing moments of this wonderful Mother's Day service, I pray that through Your Holy Spirit, You would touch our hearts and our lives. For those who know you, may this be a moment of saying, I'll stand upon Christ, just as Kate said in her testimony. And for those who do not know you in that personal way, who've not experienced choosing Christ above all things, may this be a moment when your love and your grace touch that heart. In Jesus' name we pray. We're going to sing a wonderful song, and then we'll close our service in prayer.